WBEZ is supported by Impact Grants Chicago. Over 400 women come together in a unique model of collective giving. Each member contributes $1,000, and together those donations grow into $100,000 grants for Chicago nonprofits that address critical challenges across the city. By pooling resources, individual gifts multiply into greater impact. Listeners can learn more about Impact Grants Chicago and past grant recipients at impactgrantschicago.org/join2025. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Gather round, comic fans. A new exhibition swinging into town. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. From his first comic book appearance in 1962 to his larger-than-life superhero celebrity status today, how many of you can say that you know all there is to know about Spider-Man? Okay, probably quite a few of you, but I bet you Marvel fanatics haven't seen Spider-Man's story and the Spider-Verse pieced together like this. And a new immersive exhibition at the Museum of Science and Industry in Hyde Park is sure to fill in some of those facts that you thought you knew. Marvel's Spider-Man Beyond Amazing opens today, and last night I had the chance to take a sneak peek. I also sat down in studio with Vula Saradakis, head curator at the Griffin Museum of Science and Industry, and I asked Vula how the traveling exhibition ended up coming to Chicago, because when I think of the Museum of Science and Industry, comics and superheroes, they're not the first things that come to mind. But Vula says, actually, it's more of a fitting collab than you might think.
You know, we are the Griffin Museum of Science and Industry, mm-hmm. and industry is important. And so this is a great way to take a deep dive into the industry of comic books, comic book industry. It's learning about the different aspects of this character over time and how it has impacted pop culture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of science and tech as well in this, in the movies and in the comics and in the characters themselves, including the villains. And even Peter Parker himself was a scientist. And
that's
a lot
right.
of his gadgets and the gadgets of the villains are lots of science and technology involved in those as well. So it really is a part of our mission to inspire the inventive, but also the creative genius in all our visitors. And this certainly does that.
Well, Vula, when you put it that way, I get it now. I see the connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spider-Man's a very unique superhero, right? He's not an alien. He's not a mythical figure, or he's not even an adult, not a full-grown adult, right?
No.
He's a typical teen, mm-hmm. Peter Parker. And he just kind of felt moved to take on this role, right? The power and responsibility after dealing with tragedy. Why do you think his character then resonates so much with fans?
Well, you just mentioned a large part of it. The reason that he resonates and so many people, especially young people, can identify with him is because this is a teenager, an adolescent,
mm-hmm.
and he has troubles at home. He has troubles at school with friends.
He's just a regular kid.
Regular kid who really had no choice because a spider bit him, right? And unlike previous comic superheroes, there was no adult guiding him. He wasn't a sidekick. I mean, he was his own superhero. So he had to learn pretty quick what life's lessons are. And in that very first issue in which he appears, Amazing Fantasy number 15, at the very end of it, it's that quote that you mentioned, that with great power comes great responsibility.
Yes.
And this was a hard lesson for him to learn. Mm-hmm. And one of the most moving moments in his life is when he loses his Uncle Ben. And that happens in this very powerful first 11-page issue of Amazing Fantasy 15. And then the story just picks up there. And each and every comic that sold after that, it was just getting more and more popular, his character.
And it was, and Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, of course, the duo behind the origin there, the writer and artist, they had to just keep evolving with this story. It was the story that kept on giving.
Yes, absolutely. And so what this exhibit does is it's an intersection between the fiction and the nonfiction world of Spider-Man. So it is definitely, of course, how Spider-Man evolves as a character from the early 60s all the way to the present, and lets our visitors know about this new Spider-Verse and the hundreds of variants of Spider-Man that are out there.
That's one of my favorite walls, where you've got sort of all of the different characters. I was trying to take video, and I was just overwhelmed. It was a lot.
It was a lot. One of the media tables that we have there, you can pick various characters to find out more about them. There's even a Spider-Rex, like based on a T-Rex dinosaur. So many strange variants.
Who knew? At one point, I picked up a telephone and I was listening to the music, and it just really brought me right into the scene that I was the animated scene that I was watching right in front of me. And you've got everything sort of spread out in not just one, but two galleries.
Right. And so the two galleries, the first gallery is more or less a deep dive into the early beginnings of Spider-Man. So you mentioned Stan Lee and Ditko. And so that part of the story, the one narrative is the fictional side. The other narrative is the nonfictional side, where we talk about Stan Lee and Ditko and the work that they did early on, and then how that changed when new artists and new writers came along in the late 60s and early 70s.
Yeah.
And the story is sort of intertwined, is how does this character evolve over time? But at the same time, what influence do the writers and the artists have on this ever-evolving character who really is so universal in many ways?
So universal, yeah. When Lee and Ditko eventually left, they were replaced by artist John Romita and writer Jerry Conway. And then those two are really credited with, as you said, taking Spider-Man to new heights, quite literally, right? With new innovation, and really responsible for the Spider-Man that we see, to sort of the version we see in modern day.
Yeah, they were very much so responsible for that. They made him a little bit more human, but also the times were changing. And now we're entering into the late 60s and early 70s. And, the character and other characters, supporting characters, and even to some extent the villains, it's so socially progressive in so many of these comics, the storylines. They're constantly evolving in a way that you don't see so much, say, on TV or regular, cartoons or other books or pulp fiction. It's like this was a medium by which these writers and artists were talking about current events, but at the same time, they were able to retain that coolness of Spider-Man. And, he was also a figure that was, Peter Parker was growing up. You can't stay in high school.
That's true.
Forever. So he has to go off to college, and he's involved in relationships, and his life becomes more serious.
The wedding is even on display.
Yes, the wedding. And there was that, crazy sort of real person with actors wedding in Shea Stadium. And
that's right.
So, and the character just really explodes, becomes so much more popular, and through these cartoons and through gaming too. And that also continues to be the case. So the first gallery is, like I said, the exploration of the early history. And then when you get to the second gallery, you get to see the expansion of Spider-Man even further.
The TV and film stuff is really prominent there.
Yes, and the Spider-Verse, as it's called, where we're introduced to so many new characters and symbiotes and variants of Spider-Man.
That's definitely where I spent the most time.
It is a lot of fun.
The design of the exhibition is fantastic, super interactive. Mm-hmm. You've got everything in English and Spanish.
Of course. Right.
Why was that important?
It is important. We made a commitment to start translating all of our text into Spanish. So everything is now bilingual, and that's important to us. And so that it can reach a wider audience. And the other change that we made was to make it more family friendly from where it came in St. Louis, I believe it was.
Yeah, you've got a kid zone. Right?
Yes, the kids zone. So at the very end, and I went there today and I was watching all these kids sitting there and they were drawing, looking at the tutorials that were on the wall and drawing and tracing. And some had left some of the art behind on paper.
Their masterpiece?
They're wonderful
left
art.
Left behind?
Left behind. I couldn't do that. But it was just wonderful seeing that sort of, just interacting with the exhibit and going at your own pace. And that's what this exhibit is all about. There's really something a little for everybody.
Yes.
And you can go at your own pace. And so but you learn so much. It's a beautiful snapshot of American culture and pop culture history.
I love that it's for the person who also does not know a lot about Spider-Man. It's not just for the fanatics. It's where whatever level you're at, level of Marvel fanatic you are, there's something in there for you. There's something to learn, or there's something for you to just ogle at, right?
Absolutely, definitely. There's so much to see and do, and it's just so much fun.
Yeah. Are you a Marvel fan?
I am a Marvel fan,
really?
I watched Spider-Man at a young age, the cartoons. Mm-hmm. So yes.
I read the comics, and then for a brief moment, then Archie took over, and then I came back later with the more recent films. Jessica Drew, I love that there was some representation going on there. So Spider-Woman is well represented in her own section there. Talk more about that.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure that we were, inclusivity and diversity is very much of this universe.
Yeah,
part of this
intentional.
Universe. Very intentional, but not forced in any way because it's there.
Yes.
It really was there. And so we do talk about Spider-Woman and we talk about Spider-Girl, who is the daughter of Spider-Man, May Day Parker.
Yes.
And all these other characters who, they're breaking this mold of what you would expect to see of a superhero. And that's the beauty of the Spider-Verse, is that you can picture yourself, you can see yourself as any one of these characters, or somehow identify with one of these characters, or just learn about them. And that's a lot of fun, too.
Exactly.
And, it's very clever. Not that I think this was done intentionally, but because there's this mask covering his entire head, Peter Parker's head and body, I mean, it gives the people thinking about this character the ability to think, hey, that could be me. Maybe that could be me. And now that you have these variants and these different types of spider people or characters that include women, of course, and young girls, they could see themselves as these, superheroes too.
That is wonderful. Mm-hmm. Just about 30 seconds left, Vula. Before you go, any other attractions that you want to highlight over at the MSI right now?
Yeah, we're getting a new one. We're going to open a new one in the Griffin Studio called Beyond the Surface, the X-rays of artifacts that we're featuring. And for anyone that knows the museum, this is where Notes to Neurons used to be. But it's the Griffin Studio that's opening very soon.
Awesome.
And that's an exciting look inside some iconic artifacts and objects that, you've never seen before because they've been X-rayed.
Ooh, all right. We'll look out for that. But for now, we're talking about Marvel's Spider-Man Beyond Amazing, the exhibition. It's open now at the Museum of Science and Industry. It'll run until February 2026, so lots of time here in Chicago. You can purchase tickets online at msichicago.org. Vula Saradakis is head curator at the museum. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by me, and it was mixed by Ari Mejia. Reset wants to bring you all around Chicago with our conversations to keep you informed and connected. Subscribe wherever you listen or visit us at wbez.org/reset. We'll meet again tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.